It was real easy for me to see. One day I was at home and I was practicing. You know, you don't keep up a gift unless you work it. So I was at home playing piano one day. I've never shared this before, but this is one of the most intimate experiences I've had with God. I remember I was just playing one day, and all of a sudden, it felt like that there was a warmth about me. And out of nowhere, brother, I began to sing words, not from a song I'd heard before, but I just began to sing, "Thank you, Lord, for all the times you didn't fail me. Thank you, Lord, for never letting me go." And I began to sing his praises. And then I realized that if he can dwell in the midst of one, that surely he can dwell in this place tonight just as mighty as he could in a congregation of thousands. He used an army that was reduced all the way down to hundreds and was able to accomplish his will. So don't tell me that just because you feel like you're outnumbered and outgunned, that God's not able to perform a miracle in this place. You came seeking, and God said, "You shall find it this night." I'm in tears because I remember that was one of the first times in my life where God just visited me unexpectedly. I wasn't looking for it. I was just practicing. Something started flowing out of me, brother.
Amen.
Because in everything we should be able to be thankful.
Yes.
I was telling Brother Gully back there, I just came from work. I just fought through traffic, and every turn there was either road work or a wreck or something causing a delay. Almost got rear-ended about 12 times. My nerves were up to here, but then I just felt it within myself. Now, God, I know that anytime we're ever trying to be sat down, halted, or put out of the way, that we're obviously on to something good. And if I walked out the door right now, I can say that I've been blessed because I've gave him thanks in everything. Now, in your trial, if you can just find a way to give him thanks, even when it's difficult, he'll give you the peace of his spirit.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
You see, I'm not just here because I feel like I'm obligated to. I'm standing in the gap. And I have a ministry that I intend to push forward with all that's in me. Even in a world present with wickedness, I have lost loved ones that I want to see find God. I'm here because I'm giving thanks in the things that are not as though they are. I'm here tonight because I am in eager expectation of the things that I know that God has been doing in the Spirit. I can't even help this right now. I'm bubbling over just like you shook me up and opened me up like a can. The Lord wants somebody to know, if you'll give him thanks in the hard times, that he'll bless you openly in the good times. To seek him in secret is to find him in hard times. It's easy to praise him when everything's great, but if you'll steal away in a hard time, then you'll find God greater than you ever did when everybody else was shouting. You'll find him greater. When I get up in the morning, I walk into my bathroom and I see the prayer of Jabez every morning. When I'm shaving this ugly thing, I see the prayer of Jabez. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Such a simple prayer goes a long way. If you get in perspective every day that the greatest that you'll ever find, God, is in the greatest of struggles.
Bless him.
We don't preach it like that anymore, but we should. You don't find God greatest when you're on the mountain. But you find him the greatest when you're in the lowest estate. For he that is abased shall be lifted up, shall be exalted. When you're on the mountain, it only lasts for a little while. And those that are exalted shall be abased or tested. Those that are on the mountain will have to go through something to see if they will return to humbleness. But where we miss it is when we're supposed to go to humbleness, we're in grief and complaint and confusion. and fear. I feel this in the Holy Ghost landing. I know you know that I wouldn't speak out right now if I didn't feel it in my spirit. But we'll lie in worry. We'll let ourselves lose sleep. We'll let ourselves talk doubt to others, even when we didn't mean to when we first called them. You might have called to check on them, but then you're complaining about your situation. And all that God wants you to do when you're down in the valley is just to get your eyes upon Him, that you can be lifted up, that you can find Him in low estate. For to be last is to be first, and to be low is to be lifted up high. Was found when his nets were broken. If Jesus had came to him when he was pulling in multitudes of fish, he wouldn't have been drawn the same way as he was when his nets were broken. Paul was found as one that wanted the church to be dead. But he was found in the worst of a state to be lifted up to do a good work. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you might be in low estate. But I want you to know that as you move forward in God, you begin to elevate into higher heights and deeper depths, and you find God to be real and true. Adam was the first. He was the first one that had the opportunity to be on the mountain and stay on the mountain, to live in a garden where he would have never went without, to tend a livestock that would have been an easy work, to have a helpmate, to be there as a comfort and a companion, and one that you could share with on an intimate level, to have all the pleasure without having to endure the suffering of man. But of course, in our human nature, we failed. In God's mercy, he gave the children of Israel opportunity after opportunity to have a on top of the mountain life. They received manna out of heaven. They were led out of every trouble by a man of God. Yet they still turned away. Yet there was still something. So God, seeing the nature of mankind, wanting to allow him to still be in the mountain, brought someone that taught, not by walking always in the mountain, but in the valley. Jesus lived in the valley. He didn't get the limo from place to place. He didn't get $10,000 to do an appearance for a three-day weekend. But he went from places where they were going to throw stones. He was surrounded by people that continually mocked him. He lived in low estate. He was born of someone of low estate. He didn't grow up in a high income. He didn't grow up with a bunch of things to consider him fortunate. In fact, you would find him to be quite common if you compared him to other people. So he walked in the commonality of everyday life. Yet he opened not his mouth to the scoffers, to the naysayers. Every day I try to tell my sister, if you let the devil get one foot inside your house,
come on, brother,
it's over. When you're in a place of low estate, if you're not turning to God, then the enemy begins to try to kick your door down. And some of us maybe have let the enemy get in about halfway, and we're still trying to keep him pushed out. But the only way that you will succeed is if you let God lift you up in a hard time. We don't say praise the Lord because I want notoriety or because we want the church to look good. We're telling you to praise God because that's your way of getting yourself up out of this pit into something greater. Hallelujah. Joseph walked in a place of low esteem, but God lifted him up to a place of high favor, but not before he learned how to be humble, not before he learned what it felt like to hurt. Neglected by his own family, sold out into slavery, forgotten in prison. He was in a low place, but God found something in him worth blessing. So here we are tonight. The devil thought he had us. The devil thought he'd already gained victory. Try to bring discouragement. But revivals aren't defined by numbers. Revivals are defined by progress. How much are you growing in God? How much are you moving up to the Word? How many are we willing to go after to see the will fulfilled? As long as the wheels turn, and I say go as long as you can, and when you get weak enough, let somebody else pick you up and help carry you the rest of the way.
Amen.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to help my brother. I'm here to give him strength in his weakness. I know what it feels like to have no help. I went 10 straight days one time, and I begged God for help. And I said, Lord, just send somebody to help preach with me. And nobody came. And I remember standing there that night, and I remember I could barely even whisper, but I preached in a whisper. I remember what it felt like to finally know that even in my weakest, lowest, most lacking place, that I found God. There was more baptized in the Holy Ghost and saved that night than there was the rest of the time, because God used me in a place where I had no pride. I had no presentation. All that I had was Him. The Lord's touching somebody right now. We have an up-and-coming generation that's being taught to chase the blessings, but they're not being taught to suffer. And I don't have any children, but I grew up as one where my parents both came up in low estate. But when they raised me, they said to themselves, I'm going to do all I can to make sure that he doesn't have to go through what I did. And I would never blame them for anything. I love them too much. But I wish that I could have been allowed to go through just a little bit of labor, to get a little bit of sunburn working outside, to have things taken from me that I didn't need, to where I would learn to appreciate good times from bad times. Church, we better be careful of converting the next generation into just blessing chasers, for their blessings that they'll reap will only be temporary, because it won't satisfy them the way that it should. They won't be lifted up onto the mountain where they can be sustained for what is next. We as a church try to do all that we know to do to ensure that people don't suffer. We'll speak positive and empowerment, exhortations at an all-time high, but you'll seldom find anybody that'll encourage you to suffer a little bit. But Jesus didn't leave them without this word. He said, though you be persecuted, I went first. He went first. He went as our example, that we could be exalted, as it says, in due time. I don't know about you, but I just have to thank Him for the low times. Brother, you better be careful. You're inviting the enemy in to bring more. I find it hard to rejoice in good times. And I've even found that the Lord will send other people to come in when it's doing a lot better. And then I'm quickened when it starts getting in a low place. When it gets cold, all of a sudden my engine turns over. And I start to run, because the Lord has showed me through my own sufferings. That's why Paul was such an effective minister. He was confident, not because of the miracles he performed, but what he had suffered in his life. Peter was not effective because of the miracles. He was effective because he suffered. We would not be saved today just by the miracles, but we had to be saved by suffering. Thomas wanted to see. I can't get off of these scriptures. When you study it, you can't leave it. He wanted to see. He wanted to see. Because I'm sure he had his own problems with a little suffering. Because he was one of those younger ones that came up that you didn't want them to have to go through what others had. I'm glad the Lord has let me go through a few things to where my faith is unmovable. My health might get moved from time to time. I might be sick here and there. I might get angry from time to time and frustrated and confused. But when it comes down to whether I know God will move or not, that is unmovable. Because I've heard that song. I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. I've come through too many trials that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life that He's going to take care of me. Glory to God, because I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Hallelujah. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. I've come through too many trials, and it puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause somebody ought to praise Him. I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Let's give Him praise tonight, church. Let's lift Him up tonight, church. Let's honor the Lord, and let's rejoice concerning our fiery trials. Speak to those things that are not as though they are. Praise Him for the things that are not as though they are. Tell God what you want. Somebody ought to tell Him right now, Lord, I need a miracle. God, I need You to move. God, I need You to tear down strongholds. God, I need You to bless my situation. And I praise You, though I suffer a little while, I know I'm on my way to a crown of life. Glory to God. David did not dance in the streets because he was mighty. David danced in the streets because of what the Lord had performed. He danced because he knew that he had already won. There were other battles ahead of him, but he never doubted the one who gave him what he had. We should never doubt God. Doubt is a form of unbelief. We're not called to doubt. We're called to believe. He that believe in his heart. He that believe. They were dismissed away in some miracles because there was doubt in the room. And if you're doubting in your bedroom that God can't move for you, if you're doubting that He can't do it, you're not going to see it in the spirit, because you've got to believe it first. I would have never received deliverance until I believed, Landon, that I could be a free man. I would have never received salvation if I didn't believe that if I asked for forgiveness, that I wouldn't have been forgiven. I didn't just say. I didn't just hear. But I believed. And I followed through. I received the Holy Ghost one night because I finally believed that it was already within me. He spoke to the woman that went to the temple for 18 years with an ailment in her body, and said, if you only knew of what you had within you, you wouldn't walk the way that you're walking. You wouldn't hunker down with your back low, but you'd straighten up and say, body, get under subjection to the spirit. I'm going on. Get behind me, devil. He's wanting to straighten some of us up and remind us that we'd be more thankful for what we had if we learned to suffer a little bit. You'd appreciate the good times more. I'm telling you, one of the first times I ever realized that I had it good in my house is when I went to college. Because then I realized, when I looked around in the kitchen, I figured out that food wasn't going to make itself. That laundry wasn't going to get in the washer and do itself. And all the responsibilities of putting gas in the car and paying insurance and all the responsibilities that come with growing up, I didn't realize how good that I had it until I had to pay a price for myself. And now when I look back at my mother and father, I honor them because I know how well that I had it. And I know what they spared me from having to do when I wasn't ready to do it.
We weren't ready to bear the price of sin. We weren't ready to bear the enemy's taunts. We wouldn't have survived in the wilderness. But what Jesus did for us, even when we didn't even know what he was doing, made it to where we could appreciate his blessings. You have to find the good times by realizing what could have been. And I remember I started getting hungry after the first couple days, and McDonald's was just not going to work after a while. We want to come in and serve God once a month, try to get that quick fix. But quick fixes are only going to last you a little while. Eventually you'll want some meat that was put in the oven overnight, that was simmered with spices and herbs, something with a little flavor and substance. Does anybody know what a good home-cooked meal tastes like? You sometimes what you get in the drive-thru is not going to satisfy the true hunger like Doris was talking about. Once you get past the quick stuff, you'll know what's real. You'll know that it takes time, it takes preparation, and it takes laboring to get anything good of God. Anytime I ever get to eat my mom's food now, we make a joke about it, but every single time I'm there, I thank her now. And I'll never let another time pass where I won't. The Lord showed me that I needed to. And I remember the first time I did it, tears just welled up in her eyes because it was me being humble for something I had been ungrateful for all my life. Took for granted that I got a ride to school and didn't have to walk. Took for granted that if I wanted that cool Spider-Man Power Ranger backpack that I got it. Took for granted if I wanted to play basketball that they took me to every single practice. Even when I wasn't that good of a player, they still took me. I was terrible, but they took me anyway. I wanted to play baseball. They knew I didn't have the talent. They took me anyway. They didn't want me to feel rejected. They didn't want me to feel like I didn't have purpose. But they sent me forth to do anyway. Without the Holy Ghost sending us to do the work, we can't do it.
No, we can't.
Our best righteousness. You could live right all week long and try to preach people how they should live. But if you're not anointed when you're preaching it, you're just judging somebody. We've got a lot of that going out of the pulpit today because they feel like if they can make it one good week, that makes them worthy to tell anybody how to live and what to do. But I found that when God really anoints, you never say a word about what somebody should wear, what they should say, or what they should do. For when you judge, you bring judgment upon yourself. I don't know why I'm on this. I remember when I graduated college, I'd finally learned how to do my own laundry. I finally learned how to use the microwave and the stove and the oven. And everything I ever made, I realized it took effort. Sometimes what I made was terrible, but I was proud because I did it. God wants you to have a sense of pride. A pride in Him for what He gives you is not in vain. It's not void. And it's without repentance. You can't turn away from the good things God has placed in you. But it's hard to see the value of what we have when we suffer. But that's why 70% of the New Testament speaks about suffering.